Good afternoon, everyone. Halas Hall, kind of a quiet place this week for the most part with the Bears in their bye week. But Dan Jiggetts and I still doing some work on Bears Huddle as we welcome you in. Bears Huddle brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. And we are pleased to be joined on this Wednesday off day by the chairman of the Chicago Bears, George McCaskey. George, thanks for coming out and visiting with us.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Let's cut right to the chase. What are some of your impressions so far of the first half? Obviously a different view of it 2 weeks ago, sitting here 2 weeks ago, than what you have right now. And what are some of your overall impressions? And has your confidence in Phil or Mark been shaken at all from compared to 21 months ago when you introduced them?
I think Phil said it very well. Just a couple days ago when he and Mark had their joint press conference, we're very disappointed. Bears fans and everybody in the building was expecting this team to contend for a Super Bowl. And now we've dug ourselves a little bit of a hole. But I think every team faces some adversity at some point in the season. And the measure of the team is how they react to that adversity. So we'll see what these guys are made of. We have every confidence in Phil and Mark and the players to pull us out of this.
You know, you've been through this with this organization in almost through every nook and cranny of it. And so you understand what it's like as fans, you know, observe the product coming off the field a couple of weeks ago, and they were upset and booing at the team. And a couple of players took exception to that, which is understandable. But by the same token, you know what it feels like to be a long-suffering fan sitting there watching the product and maybe not seeing what you want. What's your reply to those fans who were upset at what they saw?
Well, they have every right to be. We're 3-5. That's a losing record. We're winless at home, and that doesn't fit the formula for making it to the postseason. You got to dominate at home. You got to control your division, and you got to do pretty well for yourself on the road. So we're outside that formula right now, and we need to correct that.
Did you have took over as the chairman, did you have your own vision of where you wanted this thing to be, where you wanted to take it? And if so, what was that?
Well, the goal every year is to win the Super Bowl. And our long-range goal is to win more championships than any other NFL team. So to do that, though, you got to win the next one. That's what we're focused on. But the focus in season has to be on the very next game. You can't look too far ahead. So right now, the best thing we can do is just look at the very next game and focus all of our attention and all of our energies on that game.
When you lose, more questions get raised. People are picking out at red flags or looking to find red flags. From the day you were in an interview on Mark to this day, I mean, some questions have been raised. Brandon got some things off his chest a couple of weeks ago. You have the, what happened with Lamar, which was an unfortunate thing the other day. How confident are you in Mark's control of this team, of the locker room? And, you know, he's quiet like Lovey was, too. You know, he will defend his players. And how is your confidence level with Mark in terms of how he handles this team?
I think Mark is fully in control of this team. Just because a player isn't called out publicly doesn't mean that the issue isn't being addressed. And the players know that Mark's got their back. And anything that needs to be addressed with a player is going to be done behind closed doors.
In terms of you dealing with anything on the football side, do you have any input at all on any of that? Or do you pretty much say, that's your bailiwick over there, you guys take care of this, I'm taking care of the business side?
That's Mark's area and that's Phil's area. You mentioned Lamar. He's acknowledged that he made a mistake.
Yeah.
He came by my office the other day. We talked a little bit about it. And he feels bad about it. And you feel bad for him. It's been a frustrating season for him. And he let those frustrations come to a head. And as a result, unfortunately, he's going to miss the rest of the season.
Well, earlier this month, some good news for the organization in that you were able to secure the 2015 NFL draft here in Chicago, first time since 1963. We were also the last city to host it before it went to New York all those years. April 30th through May 2nd at the Auditorium Theater. What can you clue us in on what that entire process was like working with Mayor Emanuel? And how giddy were you when you got the news?
Well, I got the call from the commissioner a couple weeks ago, and he said his next call was going to be to the mayor. So it was great to hear. We're very excited about it for Chicago. It's going to be a great event for the city. The mayor was all over this one. He's the one that really made it happen. And it's great that it's finally coming back to where it should have been these last 50 years, right here in the greatest city in the world.
And you have some other external things that will be going on just outside the doors of the Auditorium Theater, too. You're planning on using Grant Park to set up a, I don't know if a fan fest is what you might call it, but something along those lines, so they're not stuck in that building the whole time and make it a whole weekend of it, right?
Yeah, that was a big part of it for Chicago's bid, and I think ultimately that's why it was successful, because of that festival atmosphere. It's going to be great for the fans. Chicago's a lot easier to get to for a lot of fans of the NFL, easier than New York. And we're expecting a big crowd, and we're expecting Chicago to perform well on the big stage.
Now, consider the fact, too, that your grandfather started this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, going back to 1920. When you look at where the league is now and where your position is in terms of influence on the league, would you like to increase that at all, or are you looking towards an opportunity maybe to step onto that level and carve out a little something for yourself as well?
Oh, I don't think it'd ever be on a par with
nothing like
George Ellis, the guy who started the NFL. I'm on several committees, and influence is, I don't know, that can have a negative connotation, too, if you're not careful. But it takes a while to earn the trust of your partners in the league, mm-hmm. and to be a voice that people want to hear. But I'm enjoying it so far.
What are some of the committees that you're on board with?
Let's see. I'm on International Hall of Fame, Stadium Security, Stadium, and just recently they formed a working group. It's not quite a committee to address the personal conduct policy in light of all the allegations of domestic violence and so
forth. Where do you
see
that going?
Well, we just finished a conference call just a few minutes before I came down here to be on the air with you guys. They're working through it. There are a lot of challenges because of the different ways that crimes are charged in different jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. Of course, we want to work with the union mm-hmm. and make sure it's something that everybody is comfortable with and can live with.
In light of all these things that came up from the offseason leading into this season, how important is it going to be to establish some kind of template league-wide while working with the legal system, too, on what certain penalties are for players who are in some legal trouble?
That's part of the challenge. I don't know that there's going to be one template for all situations. Part of the challenge is we've got 32 teams in 31 different jurisdictions, and the way that criminal situations, violent situations are handled are different in different jurisdictions. So we've got to work through all of that and come up with something that can be applied league-wide.
Were you surprised when Jerry Angelo made the statement that he did about a week or so ago about having knowledge of, a multitude of these situations happening in the time that he's been involved in the NFL?
I was surprised, and I didn't know what he was talking about, frankly. That hadn't been my experience since I've been chairman, certainly, of the Bears, and I hadn't heard of anything prior to that. Every time we had a player or a staff member in that situation, it was addressed promptly and publicly and efficiently, I thought.
Do the Bears currently have their own disciplinary system, for lack of a better phrase, in place in the event, some of your own players get into some difficulties with the law? Is there already something in place on where we handle it this way if certain things happen?
We do have a system, and we've talked more about it in light of recent events. But again, it's not a boilerplate, one-size-fits-all approach. But in any situation that arises, Ted and Phil and Mark and Cliff Stein, our general counsel, and I get together and make sure that we have the proper process going forward.
While we're on legal matters and such, when you look at where the NFL is right now, and there's something to talk about, maybe a team in London with these games being played in London and all the rest of that. What's your vision of where you see things going and where you want the National Football League to go?
I'm on the international committee, so I see more of this perhaps than a few others. And, of course, we played in London in 2011. And since we won, it was a good trip for us. They're continuing to increase their presence in London and gauge the reaction of the fans and the market as they go along. And we'll see. Even if you have all the interest in the world, there are some significant logistical challenges that would have to be overcome in terms of scheduling, practice facility, how you try a guy out, for instance, whether you'd have a U.S. base, even if you're the team in London, those kinds of things. And we don't have answers to all those questions
you
right now.
You mentioned something that's pretty important, and that is you know, the games themselves. And when you look at the schedule like this year, where you guys are playing back-to-back Thursday night games, some teams, you know, are playing and have 15-day breaks, those kinds of situations. Is this maybe getting a little bit out of control in terms of, you know, just too much spread out? Would you like to see maybe condensed a little bit more? Because I think there's a lot going on, and I'm not necessarily sure that it's all good anymore.
Well, we've had Thursday games going back to the days of George Halas.
And the players love them, don't they?
Well, it's a two-edged sword.
Get the long week after
that. Get the short week leading up to the game, of course. But then you got 10 days after that.
But the injury factor factored into that and coming out of that Thursday night game might be something that, you know, people might want to look at, because, you know, you're putting a lot of strain on a lot of guys to keep, you know, to keep pounding that thing the way that it has been. You know, and you go to the Sunday night games, and all that's great. I mean, you know, it's wonderful. But at some point or another, it seems like it may be too much, and that's just me, a fan.
It's all about that television pie, isn't it, George? Yeah.
Well, that's part of it, but and it is something that you need to be aware of and keep an eye on, and they are tracking it, so bears watching.
You guys did some great, always do some great philanthropic work within the community, and it was almost a year ago that the downstate town of Washington, Illinois, was just ravaged by the tornado. It was that memorable game up here against the Baltimore Ravens that had to stop and start, and you sent a large contingent of front office folks and some players, as we're looking at some video now, not just once after the incident, but several times since then. What can you tell us about how that community is doing now, almost a year since that tragedy down there? It was a huge workload and a huge amount of work to get things going again for those folks, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just about a year ago, and Robbie Gold organized his teammates and several of our staff people to go down there last November, and he promised the town of Washington that we wouldn't forget him, that we would come back. So we had a large contingent go back in June, and it was just a stark contrast from November to June, how much progress had been made, how much cleanup had been done, and how much of the rebuilding effort had been accomplished. We also delivered a few season tickets to season ticket holders who happened to be in the Washington area in July, and got another opportunity to see again how far advanced the rebuilding effort has come.
Nice. You know what, as you look at the second half now, what do you want for this team, and what will be your part in pushing this thing forward and turning things around?
Well, the goal remains to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. To do that, of course, you've got to make the playoffs. To do that, you've got to focus on the very next game. You can't say, well, we need to win X number out of the rest of the games. To me, it's like a baseball team that's down 2-0 in the series. It's not like if you lose your next game, you're out of it, but you got to turn things around, and the best way to turn things around is with the very next game.
And been to any Blackhawks games yet this year? I know you're a big fan. You've been heading out
last night. It was disappointing. We didn't have enough offense, and they got a shorthanded goal.
I like the way you said we.
The Hawks have a great team, and looking forward to great things from them. And, of course, the Bulls are starting tonight, so there's a lot going on the Chicago sports
scene. You know, the funny thing is, you talk to young guys and they come into town, and going all the way back to the celebration in 85, when you tell them what this town is like when a team wins, they don't believe it until they see it. And then I think when they saw the Blackhawks do it twice, everybody's like, whoa, man, this is wild. Going back to the Bulls and the 6 championships there, it's been a wonderful ride. The White Sox, they went in 05. It can be a beautiful thing for players.
It is a beautiful thing. And, of course, the other side of that coin is there's a lot of disappointment when you're not successful. I got a letter just yesterday that said if Papa Bear were still here, he would clean house and he'd start with you. But the letter was unsigned, so I'm not sure which family member sent it.
Very good. Well, George, thanks for coming out and joining us. We appreciate it. Good luck in the second half. Everyone's wishing you good luck in the second half, and obviously rooting for a quick turnaround. It wouldn't be a bad place to do it, across the border up against the biggest rivals.
Yeah, congratulations on this new facility here. You're an old TV guy. This is a nice studio, my friend.
We're very proud of this facility, and you're right. A win north of the border would be a great way to start the second half of the season.
Starting a week from Sunday night. George McCaskey, chairman of the Chicago Bears, thanks for joining us here.
Thanks, George.
Go Bears.